was wondering, where am I going with this? My intention wasn't to go any further.
This is the illusion. I'm in control. He's throwing a bomb into his life.
I felt like I just had the biggest con pulled over me.
Aries was a bad girl, somebody that it's okay to get dirty and wrong with.
It gives you excitement, it gives you adventure, power, control. The women who worship you, adore you, it's just not real.
I was just shocked, overwhelmed. I just kept saying, I don't know who you are. I don't know how I can live with a stranger.
We were sitting down talking, drinking wine, and she wanted me to make a move. And my conscience was telling me, don't go any further. It was hard for me to think that my marriage to Sharon ran its course, but there was an excitement of doing something that you shouldn't be doing. It's like you're gambling and you're gonna just bet all. That's when it became officially an affair.
First meeting Sean Thanksgiving weekend, all the way back then, 1997.
I met Sharon at a nightclub. She was smart, she was athletic.
The physical chemistry was great. I had never given out my number previously to anybody. There was something about him that was just kind of different, like safe.
We would see each other all the time, as often as we could. The natural comfort was there. It just seemed easy to tell her things. My family issues, I really didn't tell anybody, not even my best friend growing up. My mother, she was diagnosed as having schizophrenia. Being the oldest, I basically had to be responsible for doing a lot of paying her bills and buying groceries for her. It was just extremely difficult.
Him sharing that side with me really made me appreciate and love him. And it really showed me how much he loved his family. The first time I remember saying, I love you, I just remember not feeling afraid to say those words and him not hesitating to say them back.
That's where we started talking about, you know, a long-term future together. The way she looked in the dress, she was so beautiful. I actually felt so happy that I cried.
We had this impression that we were just gonna take over the world kind of thing. We were on our way. I was teaching, he was in engineering. And I thought, we'd just be happy, strong, successful, both in our careers and in our marriage.
6 months after we got married, we bought our first house.
We started pouring all of our time and energy into trying to build a home. And in February, we found out that I was pregnant. It was a really happy time for us. His father started getting really sick then, too.
He just was not well. He had lymphoma.
I would give suggestions. Maybe you want me to come to the hospital with you. And everything would be like, no, no, I'm okay. Don't worry about it.
I felt for me to ask for help for taking care of my parents, I mean, it's my responsibility. It's my obligation as the son. No one else is supposed to do but you.
When couples like Sharon and Sean come and begin to start therapy, we start helping the couple understand how disconnected they've become from each other. I could see he's taking the man role. Men are supposed to be strong and silent, and that's what he tries to do. He tries to cope with everything, and he stops turning to his wife. He stops doing what he did in the beginning, which is to turn to her for love and support.
There's a certain point in time that the cancer got worse. You're thinking things like, you know, is my dad gonna be around before the baby's born?
When Sean's father died, it hit him really, really hard. But it hit him internally. He would come home exhausted and drained, and he would just look and feel just this unhappiness about him.
Knowing that he's really gone, that was really rough. I was slowly shutting down more.
Can you say, don't be sad about your dad anymore and be happy about this new baby? Like, that doesn't seem fair. It was definitely a rough time for both of us. Sean was there the whole time, holding my hand and, talking me through to contractions and things like that.
The birth of Morgan was one of the best days of my life.
The joy of that day and everything else that was going on around us, it kind of made it a little bit bittersweet. You come back home with the baby, but reality hits that you are dealing with the death in the family, and you got to go back to work, and everybody's got to go back to their lives.
After the birth of Morgan, my mom's mental state was getting worse. It was to a point she didn't even know that what she's doing doesn't make sense.
The responsibility that he had with his mom increased exponentially. I remember it was constant.
It was getting to the point I have to be there even more often just to make sure that she doesn't poison herself because she's not paying attention to what she's doing.
It's almost like he never gave himself a break. I would just be alone with this new baby. I would be up at night with her. That's when I started feeling really lonely. I wanted her to have a relationship with her father. I started really getting on his case about how he needs to step up as a father.
I heard stuff like, oh, you're not there enough. You're not doing much for your daughter. It felt like an attack.
Sharon understood on an intellectual level that Sean was trying to be a good son, but there was kind of an emotional starvation setting in. When she would question his dedication, he would feel blamed and criticized. He wouldn't know how to deal with it, so he would simply shut down and move away. It was like Sharon became the enemy.
I felt that she didn't really understand what's really going on. Like, this is just all on me. I felt like I was beginning to check out of the relationship. I just wanted the feeling of just someone wanting to talk to you and liking you and not seeing anything wrong with you. It was just something that would just take my mind away of all the issues I was going through. Having women flirt with me, and I guess I was flirting back, there was a feeling there of a rush. But my intention wasn't to go any further.
This is the illusion. I'm in control. And as long as I just talk, nothing will really happen here. But what he doesn't see is that it's still part of a movement of him turning to the outside. Sean's expressing the basic hunger to get the message that we're liked, we're desired, someone thinks we're special. So when someone else gives it to us, it's like this amazing relief. Tricky part is, then we're turning away from our partner.
I felt possibly that I didn't want to be in relationship with Sharon anymore. When I was home with Sharon, I felt bad what I was doing and I felt guilty, but then I also felt loss of connection. I basically was looking. Deborah, she seemed like she wanted me. And that's what I wanted. Someone that wanted me. We'd make little silly games, trying to distract each other while trying to make a shot. I would bump her. She would lean over so I can see her breasts. I was a little bit excited and I was a little bit nervous. My conscience was telling me, don't go any further. But it didn't stop me. I was really thinking, well, I'm actually gonna cross the line here. I drove her back to her place and I came inside and she offered me a glass of wine. We started flirting sexually again, just, you know, touching each other. And then we started kissing. Then it led from the living room to her bedroom. We're kissing and undressing each other. It was lustful. I felt like a rush, you know, as soon as we started going into it. It was like a snowball effect. I felt good afterwards. My stress was reduced. I felt happy. For some reason, I just felt better. Half the night was done.
An affair starts with people feeling connected and valued. Once you start to have sex with somebody, you are just flooded with this sense of calm contentment, like everything's right with the world. That's intoxicating. Sharon and Sean are a very good example of how disconnection leads to a sort of slippery slope.
One of the things I started doing as I started seeing Deborah was making excuses in order to not draw any suspicion.
What he would usually tell me is that he would have to work out of town. I didn't think anything of it. He's gone on business trips before. At that point, Sean was really checked out. I just thought it was maybe the stress of having a child, but I just thought it was something that we could work through.
I was wondering, where am I going with this? I just wasn't sure where my head was at. It was hard for me to think that my marriage to Sharon ran its course for me, but I didn't know how the situation was gonna untangle itself. After a couple weeks with Deborah, I did take my ring off. I told Deborah I was separated.
There's an emotional truth to that. He says to her, basically, I'm available for a long-term relationship. I mean, he's so confused at that point and so overwhelmed. He's just trying to play two ends against the middle. He's throwing a bomb into his life.
A couple years after the baby was born, I was sitting at home and I got a phone call from a woman. And she said she was seeing my husband. I remember feeling like someone had just punched me in the stomach. This life, just in an instant, it's over. I was just devastated. I don't even know how she got my number. I never even asked her. My husband was telling her that we were no longer together. And I told her that, no, we're not separated. We're still together. And that he's been lying to you and he's been lying to me. It was almost like, ironically, she was being cheated on too. She was just as shocked as I was. I was still talking to her and Sean came home. And I kept on talking to her.
She wanted to let me know that she was talking to Deborah. I was just so shocked.
I hung up the phone with her. I screamed, you need to get the hell out of my life. You are not going to hurt me or my daughter any longer. And I took every single one of his clothes, ripped them out of the closet. I was screaming, I was kicking, I was pushing.
I knew that there was nothing for me to say, and I packed my stuff and had to leave.
It was only after he left that I started crying. I started bawling. How could I not know this person that I thought I knew backwards, inside out, and now he's a stranger? How could I have missed all of these signs. I felt like I just had the biggest con pulled over me.
I went to stay at a hotel for the night. During the affair, I kept thinking it's Sharon's fault that I'm doing this. When I was in that room, I was thinking, no, what did I do wrong? I could have talked to her, I could have told her how I was feeling more and sort of holding things in. It was me. I had to take responsibility. I knew I had to do something. I was going to do everything and everything to try to win back my family.
When I found out about the affair, I was out of there. I was gone. And one thing stopped me, and that was I have to be able to turn to my child and say that I've tried everything that I possibly could to have her father and her mother together. She would be asking, when is daddy coming home? What do you say? What could I say? I wanted him to have a relationship with her, so I let him see her.
Basically, every single day after work, I'd go to our house and spend time with Morgan.
He would start to say how sorry he was and how much he knows he's hurt me. I wasn't ready for that. I would say, if you want to see your child, that's fine. But unless this has to do with Morgan, don't talk to me. My family, my mom in particular, really wanted me to give him another chance.
I had conversations with Sharon's mom through this whole ordeal. I apologize. I'm sorry for what I did to her daughter. And I'm trying my best to make it better.
There was dishonesty there with my parents' relationship. My mom, she was cheated on too. She just told me how she never really heard an apology from my father, and she heard one from Sean, and that was really powerful and moving for her. And I was just like, this isn't gonna work. This is just too hard. It was just too hard to get over the pain. I didn't know what to say or think or do. Sean kept on saying, I cannot repair the hurt that I've caused you, but just give me a chance to try and make it better. That was definitely a turning point for me. I started to see a way that we could start to move forward. When we first started seeing Sue, we started seeing not from the infidelity point of view where things went wrong, but where things started to go wrong before the infidelity happened.
I learned that I put too much on my plate, but I didn't ask for help. I wasn't being vulnerable to the point that I would say to Sharon, you know, I need you to help me.
Sean needed Sharon's approval and reassurance and respect and comfort so badly. That's why it was so painful for him when he didn't get it. That's why he ended up shutting down and turning away.
I learned how underneath that hardworking, dedicated, motivated person was just this little boy who just wants to be loved by me. The love of his life. It was very difficult. We would just take it one day at a time. And then those days started to become 1 week at a time. The more and more we talked, the closer and closer we felt. Eventually, one day, I said, I forgive you. I forgive you for the pain that you caused.
Well, today it's better than it's ever been before. We are planning on renewing our vows. And also we are expecting a little one.
We're in a really, really happy place. Our love is definitely stronger than it's ever been.
Sharon is my best friend.
The difference is that back then, he handled his problems alone, I handled my problems alone. But now, we turn to each other.
If you're open-minded, there's always a chance you can learn about yourself and you can repair your marriage.
It's a process, and the process is not an easy one, but it's something that if you work at it, you can get through it. Knowing that someone loves you unconditionally and growing that security back again, it's worth the fight to try and hang on to it. It was definitely worth it. Definitely.
I didn't expect anything to happen. I was like a druggie about to take a hit. He sees his fix, the object that he really wants. So without even thinking of the consequences, he does that. Aries told me that I was gonna go home with her that night. I was just worried about, how do I get away with this? How do I cover this up? I still love my family and my wife. When Sarah and I first met, I was 21, she was 22. I was in the Marine Corps. Home on leave.
I was working in a downtown clothing store and we just started talking. I liked him right off the bat.
I could feel a click right away. I asked her to go to dinner with me.
We hung out all night long. There was an attraction there, for sure.
She was very beautiful. I could just tell that she was a cut above most of the other women I'd met in my life. It's kind of hard being in the military and trying to find somebody you're connected with. She was definitely special.
When Brian found out that he was going to be shipped overseas, he just said, you will write me. And I said, of course, I'll write you.
We started writing pretty much the first day. Our hopes and desires kind of came out in the letters. We just built upon it the whole time.
I viewed him as a friend, and then a better friend, and then a best friend. I loved him.
The letters that I received from Sarah in Iraq were my connection to the real world. They were an escape. For 5 or 10 minutes out of the day, I was back home with Sarah. You want to have meaning in your life, and she was that meaning. At this point, we started to realize that the possibility of me not coming home was high, more as hell.
I was very proud of his military service, but at night it was awful. I just remember being very worried, thinking maybe if I stayed awake and prayed, he would stay alive.
One letter I received that was different than all the rest.
I wrote him, hey, sweetheart, time for the questions. Number one, would you rather get married in a church or outside? Number two, if you could use one word to describe marriage, what would it be?
And then the last question was, will you marry me? I knew she would make a great mother. I knew she would make a great wife.
When I mailed the letter, I didn't have any doubt what his answer would be. I immediately went out and bought a bride magazine and started planning the wedding. And in July of 2004, Brian was honorably discharged from the Marine Corps, meaning he got to come home. I don't remember ever being happier to see anybody in my entire life. My dad married us. He was the minister. It was beautiful. It was perfect.
I immediately got a job doing construction. She helped her parents run a lodge. We spent a lot of time together.
We jumped right into married life very easily. I don't think that I know people that started out happier than we did.
There's a lot of passion, physical connection, emotional connection, spiritual connection. It all felt right.
We were ready to have a family.
We were both excited at first. I had always looked forward to being a dad, but she had a really rough pregnancy.
About 6 weeks into the pregnancy, I started having this backache, and it just got worse and worse and worse. My fever had spiked to 103.
She developed a kidney infection. It was life-threatening. It was a really stressful time for both of us.
The doctor tried 3 antibiotics before he found one that worked, and he said, "I need to be on bed rest." I've never felt more confined. I was depressed. And during that time, I found that I was having twins.
When I found out that we were having 2 kids and this added stress of possibly losing her, I felt overwhelmed. Our lives as we had known it just changed. We didn't get to spend as much time together. Home life wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. I felt like we disconnected.
My bed rest kept us from really being as close as we wanted to be. There was a wall of silence that grew between us during that time. We went from this amazing honeymoon period to just halt in our marriage. It was like on a dime, from everything's great to nothing's good.
A couple years before this, I'm in the military. Now I'm at home trying to adjust to a normal life with 2 babies on the way and a marriage that is starting to feel disconnected. At a time that I should have been completely emotionally there for her, I wanted to comfort myself. Stepping into the door of a strip club, I felt confident. I felt like I belonged.
You're wanted by the most beautiful girl in the world. It gives you excitement, it gives you adventure, it gives you power, control. You feel handsome, it's all about you. The women worship you, adore you. You're there 24/7. They're never tired, they never have kids. That's stress relieving. It's a great world, it's just not real.
It really didn't seem like that big of a deal to me. That environment felt like home. When I was growing up, my parents got divorced. I went to live with somebody in my family. At the time, he was dating a stripper. There were strippers at the house all the time. We would go to the strip club. I just got used to that environment. It became normal day-to-day life for me. His girlfriend, she'd bend over in front of me and she wouldn't be wearing any underwear. At first, it was exciting and fun, but it started making me uncomfortable, that situation.
What Brian was learning was how to only see sex as an exchange, not as sex as love. That's gonna mess you up.
There's no tension there, there's no stress. It was like a rest stop. I'm passing a rest stop, might as well stop in, take a rest.
Brian had 2 different worlds, this world with Sarah and his fantasy world. When Brian went to the other world, he felt wanted, significant. He didn't have to serve, he got to be served. He got to be the center of the world. Unfortunately, in his situation, it exacerbated his problem.
I would feel guilty because I knew that Sarah thought it was wrong. I started to feel like I was a bad person. I didn't know how to fight it. I felt like I couldn't control my urges. I started backing away a little bit from the relationship.
I would ask him about the disconnect. He would just say, "I'm worried about your health. I'm worried about the babies. I'm stressed about work. It's going to get better." And I believed him. Brian was great. He held my hand. He calmed me down. He made little jokes.
Meeting my girls for the first time, they were just gorgeous. I didn't want to put them down.
I felt connected to Brian. I felt connected to the kids. We were a family. I thought we're past this last phase that was awful, and this is a new phase, and it's going to be great.
After the twins were born, I took to being a dad really quickly. I was changing diapers from day one. It was just all about the kids for a little while. Being a father was more stressful to me than war. War was fighting, it was combat. That stress was something I could handle.
The military does an awesome job at training you how to function under extreme conditions, and that does help you to disassociate. That skill isn't always helpful in a relationship, because a relationship is where you're trying to connect, not disconnect. So it was easy for him to disconnect himself from being a responsible husband who loved his wife and go be the guy who strippers wanted to play with.
Before, I was visiting the clubs maybe once or twice a month, and at this point I started visiting the club maybe twice a week. I really developed a friendship with some of the girls. We would just talk, flirt. It wasn't the act of sex, it was the possibility. It was the tension that's created, and that's what I would go looking for.
Brian was coming home at this point, 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning. I was very, very suspicious. I would say, I don't feel like we're married. I don't feel like you want to be home. Sometimes he would say, well, I'm working late, but there wouldn't be money to show that he was working late. I knew there was something, but I couldn't prove anything. It was a horrible, horrible time for me. I was hoping and praying for answers. I needed to know what was really going on in my life.
It was a situation of desire that I'd gotten used to, and I didn't think of the consequences at the time. I thought, I've already gone this far, might as well keep going as long as I can get away with it. One night, a dancer named Aries came over and approached me. We were flirting back and forth. She told me that she was taking me home that night. I couldn't control myself, and so I agreed. Sarah was classy. She was the great mother, the great wife. When you disappear in a fantasy world, you've got to find a person that seems dirty and wrong to do that with, and that's what Aries was. She was taboo. She was a bad girl. Somebody that it's okay to get dirty and wrong with. I had gone over to her house. I was like a druggie about to take a hit. I didn't care about anything else. This is what I wanted, and I was going to do it. Afterwards, I remember thinking, how did it get to this point? All the initial emotions were gone. All the justification for what I was doing beforehand were gone. And now I'm left with, what did I just do? I didn't want to do it again. I was thinking, I made a mistake and I need to stop. But she wanted to continue the relationship, and it excited me. I started agreeing to it, and it turned into an affair.
I didn't know what to say about my marriage. I didn't have one. My husband was gone. He was just gone.
She would question where that time was spent.
I started accusing him of cheating. He would just be adamant, there is no way I would ever cheat. And how could you accuse me of that?
The affair, it was all about sex. We didn't have a real emotional connection. She wasn't special to me. But there was a point where Aries turned more emotional towards me. Her solution was that I get divorced and spend more time with her. And then she told me that she was gonna call my wife and tell her about it. I didn't know how to react. That wasn't what I was looking for from her. I wanted to get out. I wanted to be done with it. And she wanted to draw me back in. I was just worried about, how do I keep Sarah from finding out?
We loaded the kids in the car, and my cell phone rang. And I looked at the number on the screen of the phone, and I didn't recognize it. And he got a little bit strange.
It was the woman I was having an affair with. My initial reaction was to lie about it.
I held it to my ear and my hand was shaking. And he kept trying to take the phone, not violently, you know, just please, 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 please give me the phone. And I said, no. I heard a woman's voice, and she told me that she had been having an affair with my husband for the past 6 weeks. I could not handle it. But it broke my heart. It was the worst day of my entire life. I had told myself a long time before that I would never fight in front of my children. And so we drove home.
I was very nervous. I didn't know what to expect, really.
We got home and we put the kids to bed. All hell broke loose. And I screamed and I cried and I asked a lot of questions.
She wanted to know everything. She wanted to get it all out. And I, of course, was afraid. I didn't want to lose Sarah. I didn't want to lose my kids. Eventually, I just came out with everything. I told her about all the stuff I'd done. It just all came out. It was painful, but I didn't have anything to hide anymore.
I was just shocked and overwhelmed. I just kept saying, I don't know who you are. I don't know how I can live with a stranger. I remember saying, you have lots of places you can go. This is the place I have. And this problem will not come into this house anymore.
Sarah kicked me out of the house. I was just completely miserable. I hit rock bottom. I was still working, but I was living out of my van for about 3 months.
I had actually decided to leave Brian temporarily, maybe forever. I didn't want to talk to him.
There was no meaning to anything I was doing. I still loved Sarah. I really loved the girls. I was losing completely my family and my wife. And I realized I needed to do whatever it took to get them back. And it's where I discovered the drive to try to make myself better. I called Sarah. I asked her to forgive me.
He said, I don't have anybody except for you and the kids. And I know I don't deserve to come home, but can I come home? And there was just something in me that said, I'm married to this man. I can't deny what it means to me. And I have to see if it can be saved. I said, do you want to change? And he said, yes.
When Brian and Sarah showed up, their marriage was teetering. It was definitely on life support. But he actually has to realize, I broke your heart.
Looking back now, I would say that I was being selfish. I wasn't fulfilling my duties as a husband and a father. What I was doing was affecting the people around me, even though I didn't want to recognize it. I was afraid to recognize I had a problem.
He was depending on that fantasy world more to deal with the real world. He went to strip clubs for emotional comfort. If he got stressed out here, he'd go there.
I thought, if I could understand how he got there, I really believed we could take him out of it. I just was learning how someone that was so kind-hearted and so lovable and so boyish, really, could be involved in this lifestyle.
Brian was also diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. That's definitely a variable. Post-traumatic stress is something that happens in some kind of traumatic event. You shut down emotionally, you almost disconnect as if it didn't happen. Post-traumatic stress disorder doesn't cause someone to be unfaithful. They don't know how to deal with the trauma that's happened in their life.
I could talk openly about what I was struggling with and not feel guilty about it. I saw a possibility to change and to become better. I've got to man up and start being less selfish and start being a better father.
Everything was far from being good, but I think I saw a glimmer of hope there.
I had a goal now. I had a mission. I was hoping that we would be able to rebuild our marriage.
Was not giving up on Brian. He knew he had a problem. Forgiveness was a very deliberate decision for me. My faith is the most important thing I have. I just said, okay, I have to forgive the little, I have to forgive the big.
It was a major turning point. I remember having the desire to be a better person.
I realized how much I love Brian. Brian is a great father today. He's present physically, he's present emotionally.
Our marriage today isn't perfect. Something like this just doesn't go away overnight, but we both love each other and we both have the desire to make it better.
We're not perfect people, we're real family. We have real times of disagreement, but we can talk about things that most couples can't talk about.
Accountability is huge. Having somebody that you can just be honest with them, know they're not gonna judge you, but they're willing to help you through whatever it is. Our relationship today is closer than it ever has been because we've got that connection that is only achieved through hard work. Sarah's ability to love me and forgive me through all the stuff that I put her through is just amazing.
People change. Anyone can change. There is no power greater than love.